D. Smith, welcome in. It is the latest edition of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. The Unnamed Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista. Three Punk Ales, a place Darren and I were visiting earlier this week on a Monday. This is our second podcast of the week. Not at Three Punk Ales today, Darren. Our setup is a little unique this time around.
Yeah, this is a first, and I hope that this isn't a last. Although, we'll see how it goes. But you and I are not actually in the same location. We're not at a brewery. We're not at Three Punk Ales. We're not in the podcast center of the former BCA radio. We're not on my kitchen table. Well, I'm at my kitchen table, but we are using technology to record a podcast here where I'm in one location, Jordan's in another location, and we're communicating via laptops.
So we're hoping that this works out, because if this does work out, this would give us a lot more opportunities to do some pretty cool stuff in the future. Like, I don't know, let's say Darren is visiting or traveling around Europe going to soccer matches. Maybe he could check in from around a stadium or something like that. So hopefully, Darren, this works out. But so far, so good, it sounds like to me. So that's good news.
All right, good. Well, I'm sitting here with my arm in a sling, and I have some Apple earbuds. I have an espresso. I have a full water. I got a legal pad with some notes jotted down on it, and I'm yelling at my laptop. So we'll see how this goes. Knock on wood.
Here we go. So what is your setup? Is anyone home right now, or are you just by yourself talking to yourself in the living room?
Nah, my wife just came home about 10, 15 minutes ago. She had been out because she's gainfully employed. So she was out with a client for lunch. She walked in about 15, 20 minutes ago. She needs a new automobile. So we were planning on car shopping, but as the minutes pass and it's just past 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, or approaching 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, she's decided she'd really rather not go brave the traffic, Friday afternoon rush hour traffic in Southern California. So we're going to put that off to another day. And instead, I'm going to sit here unshowered and podcast with you and talk about the FA Cup final and the final weekend of La Liga and Zlatan Ibrahimovic and all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you say unshowered. I'm sure the collarbone has something to do with that, but I'm just assuming a very like judgmental look. If my wife came home right now and saw what I was doing, she would be like, "What happened to you?"
Is it that bad? I mean, I've mostly kept it together. I've actually been pretty solid. I've been able to do a little bit of laundry. I've made a bed today. And for those that listen to this podcast and don't listen to our other broadcasts, I had a scooter accident and broke my collarbone. So that's going on 10 days ago. So arms in a sling. I have a doctor's appointment coming up on Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. But I feel much better. I mean, showering's gotten a lot easier. Dressing myself's gotten a lot easier. I can shave my own face. So tied my own shoes for the first time yesterday, Jordan. That was a really, really proud moment. Banner moment for me in my recovery. So things are looking good. I'm going to knock on wood again because I'm going to Spain in less than 2 weeks' time. I'm hoping for a positive diagnosis from the doctor here who says, yep, things are healing really, really well. You're on the road to recovery. Good luck. You can carry your own luggage.
Good. Well, congratulations on the progress. We like hearing that. We want to hear progress with your collarbone. So we have a lot of things to talk about on today's podcast because we have an FA Cup final, which is pretty massive. I also have some updates for you, Darren, for a Champions League final that is quickly approaching. That is next weekend, is it not? That is next weekend.
Couple of weekends.
And couple weekends? Yeah. June 1st, is that when it is?
Yep.
All right. So we have an update on where Liverpool supporters should be watching this. I'm assuming Tottenham is just going to be jam-packed at the Harp. I don't know if there's going to be overflow for Tottenham. I'm sure there will be. I just know that the Harp is probably the place where you're going to find most of the Spurs fans. But when it comes to the Princess Pub, we talked about it earlier this week, Darren. It is sold out. Princess Pub in San Diego, Little Italy, the home base for the San Diego Liverpool supporters group. Sold out, so they are recommending if you're a Liverpool fan in the neighborhood that you show up to Nolita Hall. Nolita is the overflow for Liverpool fans. I don't know if you knew that, but that is the official overflow for Liverpool. And then if you can't get in there, they say go to Bluefoot. And then if you can't get into Bluefoot, I don't know what to tell you anymore.
Nolita Hall's a solid spot. I'm sure you'd rather be with as many Liverpool supporters as possible, but you know, you can't go wrong with Nolita Hall. Food's good, good television viewing. We've been there a couple of times, so I would give that my full-throated endorsement as well, especially as somebody who, honestly, Jordan, has never even been to Princess Pub.
Oh, really? I was there. They just redid the entire plaza right around Princess Pub. It is absolutely gorgeous in that area.
Yeah, I love the area. I mean, I went for brunch a couple of weeks back, and I've driven past it, and I've seen Liverpool supporters pre-match. I've seen them post-match. I've seen them at the Crack Shack down there, which is a pretty famous place to go and get fried chicken. So I know that they get after it pretty good, and I've seen the local supporters group post videos, etc. So I've seen what they're all about. I've just never literally been in the place, either for a Liverpool match or otherwise.
Yeah, I've gone to a handful of matches there to watch some Liverpool. I can't remember which matches it were for Liverpool, but I've gone there. It's loud. It's exactly what you would expect. It's not the biggest place, so that's why they do have overflow. And they're selling tickets. They're sold out on tickets. So that's the update there with Liverpool fans.
By the way, I feel like we should address a little of the controversy, speaking of Liverpool fans, that came from when we were at Three Punk Ales on Monday. So we recorded our first podcast of the week Monday. We were in Chula Vista, where Jordan ended up getting a parking ticket, which I'm sure he'd be happy to tell you all about.
But I paid it.
Good, good. You don't want those fees and late fees and penalties to start accumulating here. And I didn't really like your chances in a court of law, but that's neither here nor there. So we probably should address some of the controversy that came from the Barca flag, the Peña flag that was hanging, past tense, at Three Punk Ales, and some of the back and forth and banner and some of the hard feelings that came with that.
Yes, I think we should start with the most important thing and the question most people are asking. Where is the flag right now?
The flag is in my closet right now. It is properly folded.
So you have the flag.
I do have the flag. It has been folded. It has been respectfully folded and returned to us from our man Steve at Three Punk Ales. He gave it to us. There was minimal damage to it. Anybody who saw the video that was sent our direction from the beardless brewer himself and then tweeted by Jordan and certainly gained a little bit of attention here, not only from the Barca fans, but the Liverpool fans and otherwise. I will be honest here. That annoyed me. It got under my skin. I thought it was really sort of douchey what happened there, and I'm willing to let the past be the past, but as the person who was responsible for getting that flag into Three Punk Ales and then seeing it treated the way it was, I didn't take it as, hey, guess what, a Liverpool fan was celebrating, and to the victor goes the spoils. I've always said that, but what that Peña represents, what the Barca supporters group represents, to me, that's where I felt like it was disrespectful. It was disrespectful for the people like Ruben and Ray and Jack and Danny and everybody else who we've met who've been great to us and great to this podcast. And not just because clearly Jordan's not a Barca fan. I'm a Barca fan. Jordan's a Chelsea supporter. But the things that those guys do, the charities that they're involved with, the money that they help raise, I felt like that was being disrespected in that moment. So I did have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with a Liverpool fan saying, hey, guess what? Suck it, Barca. You guys totally overrated or manufacturing whatever sort of, hey, you know, so much for the best club in the world, and we hate Suarez and Coutinho and Messi's overrated. Like, all that stuff is fair game. But to me, the treatment of the flag wasn't so much somebody expressing, hey, okay, good, we're going to rub Barca's nose in it. It was disrespectful to the Peña. And so I felt like that was a little bit out of bounds, at least for me, but I'll defer and let you opine yourself.
I was looking forward to the ceremony of having you take the flag down. That's what I was looking forward to, because that was part of the bet. That's why it was still up at that time. That's the whole reason we went down on Monday, is so we would have footage of Darren, a Barca supporter, graciously taking it down from the wall. And obviously it was not taken down in the fashion in which we were hoping for when that bet was made. So we move on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need an inquisition into this, because it's been suggested that, you know, somebody was motivated to do that. And again, we love the people at Three Punk Ales. They've been great to us. So has Peña Blaugrana here in San Diego. They've been great to us. I understand why there might be some emotions involved with that image, since we don't know who this Liverpool supporter is. Again, it's I don't need a Warren Commission here to figure out what it was that happened, but I hope everybody understands that's a pretty disrespectful display, and I certainly can understand why people with the Barca supporters group were a little pissed off by that.
Yes, completely understandable. The flag was supposed to come down, but it was not supposed to come down in that manner.
Yep.
So.
And I appreciate the guys from the San Diego Liverpool supporters group reaching out to us and saying, hey, listen, sorry. I mean, that's not what we're all about here. So I do wholeheartedly appreciate what it is that they said in the aftermath. Now, all the other separate conversations that erupted about Manchester City and Liverpool and some of the back and forth and some of it with our mate Nate Albarea, I'm not going to get involved with any of that. But as the person who was responsible for putting that flag up at Three Punk Ales, it was disappointing to see it treated that way. Because, again, I didn't take it as, hey, we're Liverpool and we just pulled off this amazing, ridiculous come from behind win, and the second time we're going to the Champions League final. I more took it as, hey, those are some really, really good people who do really, really good things, not just in supporting their own club, not just for putting out a great atmosphere at the Outlet Drug Company, but those are guys who do great, great things for charity. And that's a bit disrespectful to them and their efforts.
Right. So that is the latest with the Instagram page. Follow along, I guess, if you want. So this weekend, Darren, are you going to watch the FA Cup? Do you know where you could even find the FA Cup final?
Well, because Jordan, it's funny you ask that, because I saw the FA Cup final advertised on ESPN Plus, and I said, well, surely ESPN is promoting the FA Cup final on ESPN Plus because it's also carrying it on ESPN. And since I'm going to be on a Southwest flight Saturday morning at 6:15 a.m. going to Chicago, and since Southwest offers free television viewing, and amongst those channels offered would be ESPN, imagine my surprise when I checked the TV listings and I found out that the FA Cup final is in fact not on ESPN. So I'm going to be on a flight. I will have no way of watching the match live. I believe, what time does it start? 7:15 or something like that?
9 a.m.
9 a.m.? Close. But I'll still be on a flight no matter what. I don't land until about 11:15 in Chicago, so right towards the tail end of it. But since the match isn't on ESPN, it's only on ESPN Plus, right? Or am I wrong?
I have only seen it on ESPN Plus. I went on ESPN's website to look at the ESPN Plus schedule, and there I found a pregame show dedicated to the FA Cup final, and then the 138th edition of the FA Cup final. It looks to me as if it's exclusively on ESPN Plus.
Yes, that's my understanding as well, which means that, and I checked the ESPN listings just to see if it would be on any of the ESPN family channels, and it's not listed there. So unless they're making a last second adjustment, I don't think that it will be on ESPN, which means that I won't be able to watch it on Southwest Airlines heading from San Diego to Chicago.
Well, when you land in Chicago, you will find out if Manchester City became the first ever English side to win the domestic treble. That's what's on the line. Can they win the domestic treble this weekend? It's really Oasis against Elton John, though, right? Like, let's not bury the lead here. It's Oasis. Are you team Oasis? Are you team Elton John? I'm going team Elton John. I have a couple reasons why I want Watford to actually win this weekend. But this is a musical showdown as much as it is a soccer showdown at Wembley this weekend.
So two music acts that we often would associate with piano, right? We've got many, many years of the piano man himself, Elton John. And the piano has been a significant part of Oasis musical history. So I would say, if we're just judging this based on the musical acts, Jordan, I would say it's probably team Elton John, but since this is Manchester City versus Watford, I will go with Manchester City.
Got it. Since it's not actually the musical showdown. I was wondering if Elton John would actually be at Wembley for this, because I mean, he was an executive chairman a couple of times with the club, but I looked it up. He has a concert on Saturday. He'll be busy. He's going to be in Copenhagen. So Elton John will not be there. We've seen all these videos after Manchester City win anything with Wonderwall going nuts, and you got Oasis in the locker room with the whole squad. So I was wondering if Elton John would actually show up for his side.
Well, I guess he's not a real fan, is he?
I guess not. But I will say, Wonderwall, like, that's a tough song to blast after winning a trophy, isn't it? Like, isn't it awkward every single time they blast Wonderwall after this big impactful moment? Like, FA Cup finals, winning the Prem, and then you get blasted with Wonderwall.
I don't agree with that. I actually like Wonderwall. I think that it's a good anthem type song. I mean, it's certainly a song that everybody can belt out. It's not like you have to. It's not like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road from Elton John, where you barely even understand what in the hell he's saying. I mean, you understand it. It's pretty simple lyrically, and you can just let it fly. I mean, who doesn't belt out Wonderwall when they're in a car by themselves?
I guess I don't. I don't know. Is Watford going to like belt out Rocket Man if they win a cup for the first time? Like, what's going to happen this weekend if Watford actually win? I don't know what's going to happen. They've gone to an FA Cup final one time. They've never won this, Darren. They've never won a trophy. They're at zero cups here. So I'm kind of rooting for them to actually pull this thing off, even though I don't think it's going to happen. I think Manchester City probably win by four. But but it's been 35 years since Watford. I mean, obviously the storylines are about Manchester City, but I did want to look up a little bit about Watford here. Look at the other side. Give them a chance here. It's been 35 years since they were in a FA Cup final, and they lost to Everton way back when in 1989. So that's the last time we've seen them in this spot.
Okay, well, if they win and they actually play that card of nobody gave us a chance, I'll be sure to make sure that the Unnamed Soccer Podcast somehow gets put on a CD and sent over to Watford so they know that Jordan Carruth of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast fame gave them a chance in the FA Cup final.
No, I mean, I'm really not giving them a chance. I looked it up. They're head-to-head. This is not going to be close. It's really not. Manchester City have won 10 straight against Watford. Watford haven't beaten them since, like, the 80s or something. It's ridiculous. This is not a good matchup for Watford at all. At all. But what Manchester City is trying to do is something that's never been done in England. They're trying to win the domestic treble. So they won the Carabao Cup. We all remember the Carabao Cup and what happened there with Sarri and Kepa and the penalties and all that fun stuff. They won that. I guess the Community Shield doesn't count towards anything. They beat Chelsea in that, for what it's worth.
Well, don't the stats not even count in that? Didn't we learn that with Jamie Vardy in Leicester City?
Oh, yeah. They probably don't. It's very much a friendly. But as Chelsea supporters found out this week, friendlies can be impactful, too.
Yeah, well, we can only hope that Manchester City could pull off the very rare, the unprecedented in England domestic treble. A domestic treble last achieved, Jordan, by, not English, that's right, Toronto FC, which won the Supporter Shield, the MLS Cup, and the Canadian Championship. So a domestic treble, they're unique. They're not as unique, obviously, as continental trebles. Sorry, my phone's not on vibrate.
It's loud.
Not as unique as continental trebles, but call it whatever you want to call it, Manchester City. You've got the three trophies. If you want to call it a domestic treble, nobody's going to disagree.
No. So only three clubs have ever won the league, Darren, and then also won the FA Cup in the same year. It doesn't even happen all that often to get the double, let alone a treble. Chelsea did it in 07. They won the league. They won the FA Cup that year. Liverpool did it in 2001, and Arsenal have done it, but that was back in 1993. So only three clubs have actually won two of the domestic trophies, and Manchester City with an opportunity to win three of them. I feel like there's a couple conversations going on with Manchester City. There's the conversation about Manchester City winning the league and winning potentially a third trophy, and that's the conversation. And then another conversation is what's happening away from the field and all the talks that they may not even be into Champions League next year and all the rumblings of what's actually happening around the club. I don't know what would happen or what will happen away from the pitch, and I don't know if they're actually going to be in Champions League next year. I have no idea. What I do know, Darren, is that it really doesn't seem to impact Pep at all. It doesn't seem to impact the players because this isn't a new conversation. This stuff's been coming up for a while now, and they've won the league back-to-back years, which is not easy to do. They put themselves in a spot to win a treble this year. So whatever's happening away from the field, it doesn't seem to really have an impact on what's happening on the pitch.
Yeah, and of course everybody would ask him if he's prone to leave, especially if UEFA comes down hard on City. And all he can do is say, no, I'm going to be here. I realize there might be an opening in Barcelona. There's an opening with Juventus now. Who knows what else will happen? What other surprises pop up here over the next couple of weeks? But he said, I will be here for another year. I will be here for another year. So if the European Union decides that it's going to come down on Manchester City and take away Champions League action for them, guess what? We'll probably be sitting here again next year talking about, well, how about Manchester City going for three straight league titles and back-to-back domestic trebles, and you know, who knows what we'll be talking about in a year's time. But this is a pretty big test for FIFA and for UEFA about whether or not there's enough evidence here to take Manchester City out of Champions League action next year. I just tend to believe that that's probably not going to happen, but maybe that's just cynical old me.
Yeah. It makes me think a lot about how difficult it is to actually win a cup, like what the fine line is between Manchester City this year, who very well could be on their way to winning the treble, and Liverpool, who are just as good, finished a point behind them, neck and neck, head to head, all the way through. And there's a chance they don't even come away with a trophy at all. It's pretty much the same exact type of season that they both had. But at the end of it, there's a chance you see Man City with three, Liverpool with none. And you're just, I don't know, I feel like I'm reminded how easy it is to slip out of some of these, like the FA Cup. Like Liverpool slipped out of this early on against a team. I don't think it was against Chelsea in this one. I think that was the Carabao Cup that Liverpool lost to Chelsea. But I think it was just early on, and it's a fine line, I guess, between winning a treble and not winning anything at all, because I do find City and Liverpool to be somewhat similar this year, yet at the end of the year, they could be so far apart.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the perception could be completely different. And this is, you know, this is sort of this thing that Guardiola is known for preaching. Yeah. Everybody talks about him and tactics and playing out of the back and, you know, the tactical genius and all that sort of stuff. But the reason why they've paid a fortune for a bunch of players. They got a deep squad, but I do think he has to, what he does, what he's been known for, and it's the stuff that he picked up from Johan Cruyff, was the joy of playing. Like, why do you play? Do you play only because you want to win Champions League, or do you play because you just want to win as much as possible? So, you know, that they find themselves in this position where they already have two trophies in their back pocket and they're going for a third against Watford. A lot of it is the tactical acumen of the manager, right? And a lot of that is the amount of money that they spend on the players. But some of it also is the mindset of, you know, all these competitions are great. Like, we shouldn't feel differently about the FA Cup or the league title or, you know, Champions League. Like, you know, that's sort of that stuff that I've heard about Guardiola from his time at Barca, which came from Cruyff, who was his manager and a former player there. Like, you play for the joy of playing. You know, if the results come, then the results come. But the bottom line is, you're going out there to play. You don't look down your nose at an FA Cup or a League Cup or whatever the situation is. You know, that's why you do it. You do it so you can go out there and you can just be joyful in the middle of it all. So that's why they keep racking up those trophies.
Yeah. This a treble, obviously impressive. So don't confuse
treble.
A treble.
I don't know what else we're supposed to call it, but I don't know. I mean, to me, treble is sort of winning your continental.
It's a soft treble.
Yeah.
It's a doughy treble.
Yeah, it's a treble with a lowercase t. You know, the capital T treble is when you win your continental cup. You know, and then you also win your domestic cup and your league title.
Okay, a domestic treble. How about that?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, sure. Like I said.
Okay,
I
mean, so a domestic
Toronto FC.
Okay, I'm surprised you're saying this about Pep. You're throwing me off a little bit by this. Their run in the FA Cup, not impressive, all right? I'm not impressed by their run in the FA Cup. Them getting to the FA Cup final, look at the teams they've beaten. It's really not impressive. If they win three trophies, obviously that is impressive, but no one is going to convince me that getting through Rotherham United, Burnley, Newport, Brighton and Hove, and Swans are very impressive, is a very impressive route to get to an FA Cup final. Not that it needs to be. That is not their fault. They can only play the clubs that they are assigned to play. But this isn't exactly the most difficult schedule you've ever seen for them to get to.
Well, you sound like a whiny Barca fan who's talking about Real Madrid's route to a Champions League final. You play who you play, and it's just a, you know, it's a random bracket and draw, and sometimes you draw a tough club, sometimes you draw patsies. Just the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, what it really is, Darren, is a Chelsea supporter who was eliminated in this tournament in the fifth round because they drew Manchester United very early for some reason. So that's what that is. United. That's where that stems from. And it's not even as if Watford have really had an impressive run to get here. They did beat Wolves in the semis, which Wolves are good. That they're definitely talented. So to knock them off in the semis is big. But they also had Palace. Palace had them in the quarterfinals, but then QPR and Newcastle. So not the most difficult roads to get here, but this is the end of the road, and it's coming to you on ESPN Plus at 9 a.m. on the West Coast.
Again, if I were home, I'd have no issue with that, but sort of sucks for everybody else. I mean, what do you I'm sure most bars are able to get ESPN Plus, but I mean, this has always been on network television in the past, correct?
I know. I feel like it's always been on Fox.
Yeah.
Or Fox Sports 1 or something. Like, give me a major network here.
Right, and I'm okay with all those FA Cup matches being on ESPN Plus as long as they reward you with the final on network television.
Yeah, at least give you the option. Yeah. At least give you the option to be on network TV. So, I don't know. I was surprised by it. When I started to look it up, I assumed it was on Fox. So I started looking through Fox Soccer's TV listings, and I couldn't find anything. And then I stumbled into an ESPN Plus article, and I saw it there at 9 a.m. ESPN Plus. So they'll be able to track it, which is nice. We'll know exactly how many people tuned in. But, 9 a.m. on ESPN Plus. I stream everything anyway at home. I stream my cable, so this isn't really a big change for me since I will actually be at home and not in the air on a flight to Chicago.
Well, there you go.
So I'll watch. I will be watching.
With a tear in your eye as English football comes to a close.
Yes, and I will be playing Elton John in the background.
Or was that tear in your eye? Listen, what is your club doing?
Don't do it.
On Monday night? What was that? I didn't even know that they were playing at New England. What's going on there?
They are playing a charity match at the worst time possible.
How did your club end up in this situation?
The owner. This is Roman's fault. They put together, obviously, it's a charity match. The cause is great. It's great, all the money they raised. They raised like over $4 million in this match, which is great. But you know what's not great, Darren? Losing Ruben Loftus-Cheek with a ruptured Achilles days before a Euro final. And now he's going to be out a majority of next season. And he's one of the guys like Hudson Odoi, who's one of the young, talented players on Chelsea that are expected to play a lot with Christian Pulisic next year. And they're going to be on the sidelines in walking boots. And Ruben Loftus-Cheek is in a walking boot because he played in Boston. Some random charity game against a shitty MLS side. And his Achilles blew up. That's what happened.
We were on a group text, and Alex Padilla and I were both, Pepper and Jordan said, "What is this? What, I don't understand it." And then your starting 11 comes out, and I did a double take and said, "Wait a second here. The league season just ended. Like, you can count the hours that the league season ended, however many hours ago it was. They put everybody on an airplane. It's the middle of the night in England, and you put out pretty much your A lineup. You put out your Europa League final lineup, but for Kepa out there against the New England Revolution, which just fired a manager, Brad Friedel, which is hiring another manager. I forgot that guy's name.
Bruce Arena.
Whatever.
Oh, isn't Arena going there?
Okay. But they don't even have a full-time manager. And you're playing again. I mean, it's for a good cause, and it was agreed upon many, many years.
Yeah.
But still, you got to send your B squad out there. Where are all your backup players? You can't have Ruben Loftus-Cheek out there rupturing an Achilles.
No, you can't. That's not good. That's not a good plan. They just assumed they weren't going to be playing in any final. Like, why is this the date? They're not coming to America this summer, so I guess they couldn't have made it, like, they couldn't have included it in their summer tour. But come on, man. And for that to be the lineup, you couldn't have sent, like, the under 20 squad or something. It's the Revolution. Like, you could have sent the under 16s. You would have been fine.
LAFC sends their A squad against them.
And those are in league matches. Like, those matches actually count.
Exactly. I mean, I'm pretty sure DC United sends out a B squad.
Like, imagine if Chelsea hadn't qualified for a Champions League spot. Imagine if they're losing starters right before a Europa final that they have to win to get into a Champions League spot. What if Eden Hazard's Achilles had ruptured in that match?
And he played.
Yeah, he played. Luckily, he didn't get hurt because he's worth a lot of money to Chelsea right now.
Well, terrible situation.
But Ruben Loftus-Cheek, that's not just impactful this summer. That's impactful next season. He's out for
especially
a majority of
next especially for a
club
with a transfer ban.
Yes. Yeah. Not great.
Not great at all.
I feel bad for Pulisic. What was he
thinking?
Well,
at least you're in Champions League.
Yeah, and at least the manager may or may not be back. We'll find out.
Terrible. Maybe. None of that made any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel like Chelsea are in a good spot right now, Darren. I'm going to be honest with you. Doesn't feel great. I don't feel that much better than United fans. At least I got Pulisic, and at least we're in a Champions League
spot. And you're playing
for
a Europa Cup.
Man,
that's worth something.
It's worth a lot, because if you can knock out Arsenal
and Jordan,
Champions
think of all the
League,
money
I mean, I'll get a lot
just
of enjoyment
charity
out of that.
In front of a couple of thousand
exactly,
people.
Which is
England.
What this... Yeah, it's the final whistle on hate. That was the name of the match. The final whistle on hate. And I hated that match.
I mean, your owner should have just cut a check and, like, let him just not gone at all. It should have been like, hey, here's
he
the $5 million.
I mean, if he's going to schedule that match in Boston, he is required to go to Boston. He can't even show up to the games in London, so he better show up to Massachusetts.
Roman
if he's
should have just cut a check and called it a day.
Just take the yacht across the Atlantic. You're fine. Just cut it. Yeah, exactly. It would have saved him money, because now he's going to have to pay to replace Loftus Cheek.
Spend the money because you have a transfer ban.
Oh, I hate this podcast. Why did we do this today? I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else? I'm done.
Not really. I mean, I got a bunch of notes, but I don't care. I mean, does anybody want to hear us talk about Zlatan being suspended or the Women's World Cup? We'll do that all next week. Or who's going to finish fourth in La Liga this week? And most of you don't care anyway, so we'll leave it alone. Right. We'll just let Jordan
We played the hits today.
Just stew here wondering after reliving the, what was it called?
The final whistle on hate.
It's for a good cause, Jordan. It's for a good cause. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We played the hits today. We gave you Oasis against Elton John, and we ripped on Chelsea for like 10 minutes. So you're welcome.
Well, we'll just leave it at that. I mean, we could talk about Gold Cup and Bella, and we'll just save all that material for next week.
Yeah. We have plenty of time on our hands, so don't worry. Yeah. We're in no rush here.
I feel like you probably are gone anyway, so we'll let you move on with your day and try to come to grips with what your club is dealing with.
Deal. Follow along on Instagram. We're at Unnamed Soccer Podcast. Subscribe. All the same spots that you can find us before. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. Find us on Spotify. That's a great way to find the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. So we appreciate that. We appreciate those who have left reviews in the last week. Noticed a couple more popping in, so we do appreciate that. And Darren, we'll talk again next week. Maybe we'll actually
absolutely
be in the same
we also
week.
Appreciate Ron Chamberlain, the great Ron Chamberlain with Sport Clips, who knows that we're currently unemployed, but he doesn't want us to look unemployed. So he's making sure that we're going to Sport Clips and getting our MVP haircut experiences, although I'm not technically physically capable of getting an MVP because I cannot handle the shoulder massage. But that doesn't mean that everybody else out there has to take a break from MVP haircut experiences. Go to Sport Clips, go to sportclips.com, download their app. But we thank Ron Chamberlain for making sure that we're looking professional, even though we're totally unprofessional.
Peace.